This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
From Jordan Love.
Now back to overtime with Grandy, Madsen, and Bennett with sounds from the locker room and your calls at 888-957-9570. Overtime continues now.
That was Kevin Burkhardt on Fox calling one of Romeo Doubs's three catches. I didn't realize this till right now. He only had three catches, Romeo Doubs did. They all happened on the third drive, and they were all third down conversions. Third and 11, perfect. Doubs for 29 yards. Third and 5, a slant to Doubs, who ran right past Isaac Yiadom, 10 yards first down. Third and 10, Doubs, inside breaker against Renardo Green, breaks a tackle, gains 15 yards for a first down. Those were his only three catches, and they happened to all be on the same drive. All third and at least intermediate, two third and long conversions, and it led to a touchdown for the Green Bay Packers. The Packers at one point were what? You guys can help me out with this, and welcome back to Overtime. Mark, Randy, Kyle, Matz, and Sterling Bennett with you. At one point, the Packers were what? Like 5-for-6 on third downs?
Yeah.
They just absolutely decimated the Niners on the money downs. They finished 6-for-13, so the Niners' defense was much better in the second half, but that third drive specifically that made it 17-0 and I think kind of made everyone feel like the game was officially over, they hurt the Niners on 3rd and 11, 3rd and 5, and 3rd and 10. And we all saw it coming. Romeo Doubs, Romeo Doubs, Romeo Doubs over and over and over again.
It's easy. It's insane. We were just looking at the box score here real quick. The 49ers averaged more yards per play than the Packers today.
That's fun.
What?
How many fewer plays? 20 fewer
20
plays.
20 fewer plays and 84. Four fewer yards.
And time of possession was about 37 minutes to 23 minutes.
And that's just, they got smoked, dude.
They did. Yeah. Yuck. That was bad. 888-957-9570. We're with you here on Overtime.
1-for-1 in the red zone, though.
The Niners were?
Look at them go.
Wow.
Hundo.
There we go. That'll increase
their... That's called improvement.
Who's got it better than us? Everybody.
You can thank George Kittle for that. Could you imagine Niners in the red zone without George Kittle?
No.
He has, what, 8 red zone touchdowns?
All 8 of his touchdowns this year in the red zone.
They might be setting a record for the least efficient red zone offense if it wasn't for George Kittle. Like, he has been a red zone monster on an offense that is one of the worst red zone teams in the league. It is actually incredible how much success he's had in the red zone, considering how poor the rest of the team has been.
We can take a look and do a little math if you want. He has 8 red zone touchdowns this year. The 49ers entering today had 20. So when you take out George Kittle's 8...
12 red zone touchdowns without George Kittle. 12 for 29, that's 41%.
Ugh. Yikes.
It's not great. Ugh, that's not tough. Great. So quick math, yes, not good.
Not great.
Good
not great,
without
Bob.
George Kittle.
But guess what?
Yeah, go ahead.
That's what you're paying him to do, score in the red zone.
Yeah.
He's doing exactly what
does
his contract says he's supposed to do, score in the red zone. Everybody else, not so much.
Yeah, one of the few Niners that showed up today was George Kittle. 6 catches on 6 targets. He caught everything thrown his way, 82 yards and a touchdown. The Niners' only touchdown in this game, it was George Kittle. He has been very good this year, and he continued that today. Okay, 888-957-9570. We will hear from Kyle Shanahan coming up a little bit later on, but let's run through some of these calls. Rob has been waiting patiently. Rob is in San Bruno. Rob, what's up? You're on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
What's going on? I'm good. I think it's easy to say Debo washed this and that. He's not washed. The offense just predicted what's been figured out. The problem is Kyle favoritism is going to be his downfall. CMC should not be getting more carries than Mason right now. Mason was the league leader in rushing. We've seen it with our eyes. He was hitting the hole harder. He was running dudes over. He bought a certain feel when we was feared when we was running up tackle and up the gut. We're not getting that with CMC. CMC can't even break a tackle. You know what I'm saying? He's not that guy this year. He really needs to sit out. You missed 10 weeks with Achilles injury on both legs. Like, you shouldn't even be playing. And then with Debo, look, Debo, they can line Debo up in backfield, match him up with safeties and linebackers. The same thing you're doing with CMC when you're just checking the ball down. You're getting 10-yard catches here because you're checking it right down the middle of the field. Do that for Debo. Debo can honestly still break tackles, and when he gets the ball, he can still do something. All right? We didn't draft him. He said, oh, yeah, he's a great route runner. We know he's not a great route runner. We knew that from off top. But the way they're using CMC, Debo needs to be in that position because CMC cannot break tackles. He's not doing anything. Since he came back, he hasn't been that type of player. He's not that guy this year like he was last year. And I think it's hurting the offense. Pearsall can't get open. We dropped him in the first round. I've seen it live. He cannot breathe. He cannot be pressed.
Okay.
He can't.
Okay.
Rob, when was the last time you saw Debo Samuel like just break a tackle, run through a couple of dudes like we've seen him do for years of the past? I haven't seen him in a long time, Rob.
I mean, this is the NFL. He's not going to do that all the time. Those dudes get paid, too. They don't want to get ran by a receiver, and I understand that. But when you put him in position, Matt, you got to put him in position. You got to match it. Like, you do the same thing you're doing with CMC. Put Debo on the backfield and match him up with linebackers and safety. Work the middle of the field. He can still break tackles. He may not be running dudes over, but he can break tackles. We've seen that today when they put the ball in his hands. So in that interception – that he threw, that wasn't deep to that in triple coverage behind him. That would have been a great catch, and Debo might would have died when he caught it. So let's not do that. So my thing is this: CMC is not ready to play right now. You benched the guy who was leading the league in rush. I thought we played the high hand around here, or only worked for Trey Lance. We played the high hand, right? The high hand was Mason. Mason's a better runner this year. It's just facts. So why isn't he playing? You get this guy 2 carries. He was leading the league in rushing.
Hey, Rob, appreciate the call. I think everyone here is in agreement with you. You got to get Jordan Mason more touches. But this is also Christian McCaffrey, the reigning offensive player of the year and an MVP finalist.
Hey, come on. Also, just objectively, Debo's not breaking tackles like he was last year.
Okay, I got a stat for you to back this up.
Please.
And I know you have stats as well on this. There are only three players.
We all have
players.
Stats, Mark, okay? We all have stats.
We all have PFF accounts.
There are only three players that have averaged fewer than 3 yards per carry among the 96 ball carriers with at least 25 carries this year. Trey Sermon, Zamir White.
Oof.
And Debo Samuel. Trey Sermon, Zamir White, terrible running backs.
Not good players.
Niners know specifically about Trey Sermon because they drafted him.
Sure.
And then Debo Samuel.
Yeah, man. Look, I don't wholly disagree with what the last caller was saying. I'm with you. I believe Jordan Mason should be getting more touches.
Yes.
What did he finish with today?
3 carries for 8 yards, although he had a 16-yarder. He must have lost a bunch on a fumble or something.
Oh, my God.
I don't remember. It must have been late in the game.
A long of 16 and then had 8 total yards.
Yeah.
But that first carry was 16 yards. That gave him 3 for 29 in his last 3 carries. Like, Jordan Mason needs to be getting the ball. I totally agree.
Yes.
And that carry came early in the third quarter. Up to that point, leading up to the play where Mason got his first carry, the Niners had 14 rushing yards on the game. He then had 16 on the next play. Yes.
So I don't hate that idea at all. In fact, I totally agree with the caller, 100% bet we are in lockstep there. What I disagree with is that they need to get Debo Samuel the ball more. Debo last year houses that screen today. He just doesn't have the juice he used to have. He's getting beat to the edge by defensive linemen on jet sweeps. And I, on some level, it's the looks he's getting, right? Like, that's what Kyle Shanahan said. Oh, he's going against bad looks. But also, like, his broken tackle numbers are way down. His yards after catch per reception, at the lowest rate of his career, or lowest number of his career. He's not breaking tackles. He's not running away from guys. He's not surprising teams anymore. And like the caller said, he's not going to route people up. And when you're like grizzly bear with chainsaw for arms, rushing ability goes away, he doesn't have a ton. And you just see it. Like, he just doesn't have juice like that anymore. And that's okay. Like, it happens. He's super physical. They ran him into the ground. He's an all-pro. He's amazing. I have never seen a player like him.
2021 was amazing. Unbelievable.
We'll never see a receiver do what Deebo Samuel did in that season. I feel really confident in saying that. Because how many next Deebo Samuels have there been in the draft? A bunch. And they don't too do many. It. Right. Too many. Exactly. So, man, I don't agree that Deebo Samuel needs to be getting the ball more, because every time he's gotten the ball, it has been wholly ineffective this year.
When this in previous years, you see him break off, you know, he'll knock around through two safeties and a linebacker and he'll fight for 3-4 extra yards. And this year it's like one linebacker and he's down.
Yeah.
And it's a negative 1 yard run on 2nd and 10.
Mm-hmm.
And your team's in 3rd and 11. It's a, well, yes, a screen pass that you get 21 yards on, which is great. You'll take that all the time. That is a play, like you said, Kyle, that Deebo takes to the house last year.
Yep.
Now, yes, he had the big kick return today that got negated, so there is that to Rob's defense, the caller, but we are now 12 games or 11 games into the season. Deebo, outside of one game, maybe two this year, has shown nothing. There's not been the power. There's not been the ability to fight through contact. It's simply just been, I get held on, you know, at the line of scrimmage, I get stuff there. I can't go anywhere. I'm giving my quarterback nowhere to throw the football. I'm double covered or whatever. And then when he has the football, it's nothing like Deebo Samuel has been. And unfortunately for a player like him that can't run routes, he becomes a one-trick pony. And when that one trick goes away, unfortunately, he becomes useless. Now, I don't think Deebo Samuel's useless. I think there is ways to get him involved. But sure, you're not taking away CMC carries. In fact, I would rather have Jordan Mason touch the football almost every single time Deebo Samuel has this year. It's more effective. And even today alone, the issue isn't CMC getting carries. It's the fact is the offensive line cannot block at all for Deebo, for Mason, for Christian McCaffrey. There was a stat on the TV screen today that popped up like in the early fourth quarter, and I'm sure it's different now than what it was then. But on outside zone runs today, there was 11 attempts by San Francisco, under 10 yards. They run an outside zone scheme on offense.
It's their bread and butter.
And they have under 10 yards on 11 attempts. That ain't Debo's fault. That ain't CMC's fault. That ain't Mason's fault. That is an offensive line deficiency that has hampered this offense all year long.
Yes, very well said. And if we could go even further, whether it is just talent of the offensive line and that being the problem, or if it's just the scheme getting a little old and stale and defenses adjusting and figure out a way to stop it, to slow it down. I mean, both of those points hit home with Kyle Shanahan. It is, okay, you got to do a better job finding the right guys to play on your offensive line, and you got to adjust your offensive scheme and, you know, adjust to the adjustments. And we haven't quite seen that yet from the San Francisco 49ers, and that is an area that they can adjust. And they're going to have to, because that has been their bread and butter for so long. It's what helped Christian McCaffrey become the offensive player of the year a season ago, and they've had very, very little success with it. And I think to our caller's point, Robin Sanbruno, this isn't Kyle Sterling and I saying that Deebo Samuel is washed because he had one catch for 21 yards. And if he had four catches for 60 yards, that would be better. Like Rob's saying, just give Deebo the McCaffrey touches, because Debo's still that guy. McCaffrey isn't. Sure, if he has three more catches underneath for 7 yards each, his stats look better. Mm-hmm. But we can still watch him as a football player and say, well, you're still going down on the first contact. Mm-hmm. You're not breaking tackles. You can't run past people as often anymore. Like, yeah, the stats are one thing, and that's not good, but when he has the ball, what does he look like? Is he separating? Is he breaking tackles? And for me, guys, the answer is pretty clear. This is not a statistics thing. The statistics have been pretty bad. They could be better if they just gave him touches and easy catches, but it's so much deeper than just the statistics.
Look at the play calling.
They didn't give him the ball exactly. When they had their backup quarterback. If this is 3 years ago, he touches the ball 15 times, minimum, I guarantee you.
Minimum. And that's just it. Like, you think Kyle Shanahan doesn't want to give Deebo Samuel the ball? Kyle Shanahan loves Deebo. Kyle Shanahan would love to call end-arounds and jet sweeps.
Oh, my God. He would have stayed up all night this week devising ways to get Deebo the ball.
Right, but he just doesn't have it. Go back and watch Week 10. Go find Deebo Samuel's carry. It was like a jet sweep. He was going right to left.
Yep.
He got beat to the edge by a defensive tackle. That is a thing that happened.
And lost a yard.
Yeah. The exact same thing happened last week. He just does not have that juice anymore. I'm telling you, this is not stats. This is not me. I love Deebo Samuel. He's one of my favorite players who has ever worn a 49er uniform. This is not anti-Deebo. Watch him. Get outside of your Deebo fandom for a second and watch. And if you can watch and you tell me that's the exact same player, I would love to know your notes. Because I have not gotten that vibe at all.
Yeah.
It's just a player that is nearing the age of 30, that has played an extremely physical role on this team, has carried the offense for an entire season, and inevitably, father time catches up to you, your body breaks down, and you can't be utilized in the same way you once were. Now, unfortunately, Deebo Samuel is getting paid to be utilized the same way in which he was when he was an All-Pro.
Right.
Now, you'd like to think that in an offense that in a normal year would have a healthy Kittle and Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey and maybe Jordan Mason Mixon here or there, although it's had not seen that so far, even when he's been great. Like, you would like to use Deebo in maybe a lesser capacity, but with like three or four like home run hitting touches a game. But that's not how the NFL works. When he's out there, you know he's getting the football. And when he's getting the football, there has been nothing that makes you say, oh, there's All-Pro Deebo Samuel. It's like, wow, there is, unfortunately, an overpaid, later in his career, All-Pro player. That's life. That's football. And Deebo is at the end of his contract. I would not be shocked if they say goodbye next year. He's given them nothing to latch onto and say, yep, he's worth what he's being paid.
Yep.
And I hope that changes. I would love for Deebo Samuel to lock in next game and carry this offense the way he did a couple of years back. It would change the entire season. But the odds that happen are darn near 0% because of where he is right now in his career.
Yeah, and if you were to tell me, or I think you guys would probably agree, tell any of us, preseason that McCaffrey would miss the first, 9 games of the year? First 10 weeks, would first play week 11?
Week 10.
Week 10. Mm-hmm. I probably would have said, oh man, I guarantee you Deebo Samuel had himself a good first half of the year. Because he would have gotten all the touches he could possibly ask for. And it hasn't happened, even without McCaffrey.
You saw week 1. Their break in case of emergency option at running back was Jordan Mason, obviously. But then it was, hey, here's a lot of Deebo Samuel. Here's a lot of fun stuff with Deebo Samuel. But he just doesn't have it anymore, man.
Yeah, it's rough.
Maybe he's hurt. Like, maybe he's super banged up.
Maybe there's something they're not telling us. But
go ahead.
Am I wrong to, again, I'm speculating here, but Deebo Samuel lost a lot of weight coming into the year. Mm-hmm. Got himself in better shape, and I'm not sure if that was to maybe answer the Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel conversation, who stays after this year. Maybe he's faster on his feet, better routes he runs, although that hasn't been the case. I do wonder if losing weight to maybe push back on the Deebo or Ayuk narrative of who they're going to keep may have made him less durable or less stronger to push through some blocks or to push through some tackles. It's all speculative, obviously, but I do wonder if that the offseason program to get himself in better shape actually hurt him in the long run.
I do. I maybe there's something there in terms of breaking tackles and physicality, but he also just seems slower, right? And you feel like losing weight would make you, at the very least, not slower.
More explosive.
Maybe it would make you a little faster.
I had people who cover the team and are there every day at training camp. And I think people here who went to training camp talked about it. Like Deebo Samuel looks like 2021
Deebo. Best shape of his life.
We might be in for a monster Deebo season that makes this offseason really tough when it comes to, wanting to keep it.
Yep.
And he just hasn't happened. It hasn't.
No, not at all. 888-957-9570. Let's go out to Eric in San Francisco. Eric, what's up? You're on overtime. It's Mark, Randy, Kyle, Matt, and Sterling Bennett with you. Eric, how you doing?
Well, all things considered, all right. Happy holidays to you guys.
Yeah, you too, Eric.
Actually, I'm not bringing the fire and brimstone. I just wanted to bring an observation from my days with living with a whole bunch of Philly fans about Andy Reid and to pose a question to you about some potential similarities I'm worried about Kyle Shanahan's current stint with the Niners with what I saw with Andy Reid in his first stint with the Eagles and what I see with him now. And I kind of wanted to pose a question to you. And
that was... Yeah, go ahead.
In the early... In Andy Reid's first five seasons, he made the NFC title game after the first one four straight times. And in that fourth one, that's when T.O. broke his leg and they lost the Super Bowl. And at that time, I was living with a bunch of Philly fans. And after the Super Bowl, for like the next eight seasons, he only made one NFC title game after that. And he missed the playoffs about half the time. And the thing I would always hear my Eagle friends complain to me about that I also saw in the game was that Andy Reid was very dogmatic. He came up through the Packers West Coast system. He ran a very West Coast heavy offense. And when things in the game started to go sideways, he relied on his dogma. And what I'm kind of worried about is we're kind of seeing a similar trend, which was Shanahan's been here for, I guess this is now his eighth season in his first seven. He made two Super Bowls instead of one, but the same amount of NFC title games. And the thing that's troubling to me about what I saw today and kind of over the course of this season, and it's consistent with kind of what Ann Killian wrote in the Chronicle today about his troubling stats about from how he performs when he's down in the fourth quarter versus when he's up, is, again, I'm wondering, I think the best thing that happened to Andy Reid's career was that he got fired, even though he got immediately hired by the Eagles fans, or by the Chiefs the same offseason. Because I think it forced him to kind of reevaluate his kind of coaching philosophy. And the coach I see today is a play caller where he's very dynamic with Patrick Mahomes. And you give him Tyreek Hill and he'll run a jet sweep. Mm-hmm. But if you give him Juju Schuster-Smith, he'll run kind of a more possession receiver, and he's learned to use the tight end with Kelsey. And so I'm just wondering, do you think that the rigid dogma that has been the educational framework for football-wise for Kyle Shanahan is kind of holding back that next evolution that would get him from, like Andy Reid, the guy who's going to get your team from 6 to 10 to 12 wins consistently into the playoffs, to being that aggressive guy who's going to win you the Super Bowl? For granted, we were one play away in 2019 with the Garoppolo miss and obviously just right there in overtime. So we were a little bit closer than the Eagles were back in 04. But again, I just had to watch so much Eagles football just because of who I was living with. So I kind of took an interest in Andy Reid, and I kind of see some similarities. And So I'm just wondering, again, I don't think we should get rid of Kyle Shanahan. The Eagles fans will tell you the worst thing they ever did was get rid of Andy Reid, because they sucked until Doug Peterson after they got rid of Andy Reid. I'm just wondering, from a Kyle development perspective, do you think that might be kind of a missing piece that would force him to, I guess, reevaluate his approach?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. It's just an observation.
Oh, that's interesting.
I'd be interested to hear your guys' thoughts.
Appreciate the call, Eric, and a lot of good thoughts. I mean, obviously, there's been so many people that have drawn the Andy Reid, Kyle Shanahan comparison, because a guy that's consistently winning and going to the playoffs and relatively deep into the playoffs, but can't quite get the final job done, and then gets fired after a couple of down years, goes elsewhere. And by the way, what we forget about Andy Reid with Kansas City, relatively was the same thing the first handful of years in Kansas City. His first five years in Kansas City, they won one playoff game, 1-4 in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And our caller Eric said the best thing that happened to Andy Reid in his career was being rehired by Kansas City the same offseason he got fired. That's wrong, Eric. The best thing that happened to Andy Reid was them drafting Patrick Mahomes, because that's what turned his career around. 1-4 in the playoffs with the Chiefs, and then Mahomes got here, and they're winning three Super Bowls and going to AFC Championship games every other year that they don't. Like, There are similarities, but we can also point to drafting the greatest quarterback of this generation as the reason why we think of Andy Reid as the greatest coach of this generation as well now.
Yeah, it helps. Big time help, for sure. Like, if Andy Reid had Kirk Cousins, are the Chiefs the back-to-back Super Bowl
champs? Absolutely not.
Right, so I do think there's something to that. But I do think it's interesting, and I think that that's where this season, let's assume it just continues this downward trend, and let's call it 6-11. Let's say they win one more game. They beat the Bears. We'll say that. And they go 6-11, and it's just kind of an ugly year. And this offseason, it's an exodus of Deebo Samuel, and maybe Aaron Banks leaves, and okay, they need a new right tackle. And I think maybe that where you have to fundamentally change who you are as an offense forces Kyle Shanahan to undergo that change that the caller was talking about with Andy Reid. Maybe he lets go of that dogma, right? These things that make him start or make him play Chris Conley instead of Ricky Pearsall and in key spots. I don't know entirely if that'll help, but it's what I'm watching for sure, because I think something has to change, right? Like, you can't just keep going down this path.
Yeah, yeah. Sterling, we'll get your thoughts on that when we come back from a quick break. We'll ask you about the Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan comparison and Kyle's stubbornness, because there's no doubt that he is relatively stubborn when it comes to how he coaches and puts the team together. Okay, 888-957-9570. We got more time for your calls. We will also hear from Kyle Shanahan himself. That's coming up on the other side as we continue. It's Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. More OT next here on 95.7 The Game.